Today on Seculo, a big win for border security in federal court.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So it happened on Saturday. It was breaking news that came out on Saturday. A district court judge, it was a multi-state challenge to the Biden administration's ending of Title 42. And what these states argued is, you didn't even give us time to put in comments in the Administrative Procedures Act. We see that time and time again in this administration, but in other administrations too, where courts say, listen, you can't just remove these big policies because the CDC decides, oh, the policy should be over now. Because of the impact the removal of the policy has, you at least have to give states who are impacted time to comment so that you have to go through their comments and at least understand that they have objections. Some states might say they agree, but that you didn't do that here through the Administrative Procedures Act. And so this has been put on hold. Now, in a sense, this is kind of a win for the Biden administration because while they are going to challenge this in federal court, Dad, they did not file an emergency appeal,
right,
which they could have after a Saturday a ruling by a district court judge. They did issue the statement, you know, a district court judge should not be the responsible for the entire immigration policy of the U.S., the typical line. But they didn't say, let's appeal it today.
No.
They said, we will ultimately appeal this. I'm sure it's coming. But what this means is that Title 42, which would have expired today, is still in place and can be used as a tool, thank God, for our Border Patrol and ICE officials. Just to explain to you how significant of a tool it can be, 1.7 million people have been expelled under this policy since it began under the Trump administration. They enacted in March of 2020. And under the Trump administration, it's also how you use the tool.
Right.
Under the Trump administration, they were able to immediately expel 90% of the illegal immigrants to the border and asylum seekers. It puts a halt on asylum seekers as well. So you can't get around it by saying, no, I'm going to claim an asylum and I need this court process. It's all based off the pandemic. And if you actually look at where the world news is right now on COVID and some of the regional news in the U.S., it is hard to argue that they have not declared this completely over.
No, they haven't.
I mean, they're still talking about a next booster and all these different things and the fall wave and a summer wave. So it didn't even make sense logically based off how this administration has been handling COVID that the CDC all of a sudden was going to say, okay, now you can open up your borders to people.
What's also interesting is that in a Politico Harvard poll, and this is interesting, this is regarding the Title 42 expulsion policy, 55% of those polled of American adults oppose ending Title 42. 55% want to keep Title 42 in place as a protection at our southern border. So what you've got is the Biden administration is fighting against both, I think, what the law is, because I think the district court opinion is a lengthy opinion. It was totally correct. This was out of the Western District of Louisiana. The judge was correct in his analysis. But also just the body politic is saying it's working. It's at least a tool they have to what is otherwise still an unbelievable crisis down there. So let's let that play out.
Yeah, I think here what is so important when it comes to Title 42 is, remember, by keeping the people, knowing that this is in place, it keeps a lot of the coyotes from trying to do the mass migration because they know people are not going to just be released back into the United
States.
Keeps a lot
of fentanyl out of here.
It keeps the fentanyl out. I mean, they need to do a lot more. Because the Biden administration, unfortunately, isn't using their Title 42 power to the extent that the Trump administration did. Like I said, under the Trump administration, and while the wall was being built, they were able to use Title 42 to keep 90% of the people out. 90% under a legal order issued by a policy by the CDC. And what these states have said is, if you're going to remove it, you got to give us notice and time, and you've got to give us ability to comment. That's the Administrative Procedures Act. We see that time and time again when these federal moves are trying to be made quickly by the executive branch. They argue, of course, that they're not subject to the Administrative Procedures Act. But I also want to tell people right away, on the World Health Organization issue, which I know a lot of you are talking about, this is an ACLJ action memo circulating among our team right now. We're on it. We're analyzing it. We're not ready to get into every detail with you, but we are on it, folks. I just wanted you to know that. Support our work at ACLJ.org. We're going to be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So Title 42, just so you know, so Judge Summer Hayes in Louisiana, he's temporarily blocked the CDC move to end Title 42. It would have ended today. So there were all these migrants at the border. I mean, we've seen the imagery of it that were ready for this to expire, hoping that it would expire today. But we knew that there was this court issue because the states had brought a legal challenge saying we need time to comment through the Administrative Procedures Act. Now, the DOJ didn't just let this sit. They did say we are going to appeal. But here's what's interesting. While they said we are going to appeal, and they say, you know, we've got the authority to do this, not through the Administrative Procedures Act. It's a CDC power. So far, it has not been an emergency appeal. I mean, Dad, I guess between Saturday and today, it could still be filed as like an emergency appeal.
Yeah, but you would file it as an emergency appeal like as soon night. As the decision came out, and they didn't do that.
Right. So in some sense, I think they're taking a breather because Title 42 is not gone. But then for their own base and because of presidential power issues, which is normal, actually, through the executive branch, they're going to fight back whatever policy this was because they always want to say that the president can just remove policies.
Right.
That's a kind of normal thing.
Yes.
But I think what is so clear here
is how well
this policy has worked and they don't have a follow-up policy yet.
And I think there's tension between the progressive part of the president's base and the more centrist part because a lot of Democrats, Harry, have come out and said they're in favor of Title 42 staying in place, especially in border states, but not just border states. So he's got a real mixed bag coming from his own party.
I think that is correct. And so if you look at middle Americans, you will find strong support for the retention of Title 42. Many Democrats, particularly in both border communities and in the hinterlands, they are concerned about the resources that will be used up within their own communities with respect to schooling, for instance, with respect to law enforcement. In addition, many of these illegals are bringing across the border fentanyl, marijuana, and meth, and other drugs, heroin. And so there are lots of associated problems in addition to COVID itself. And so keep in mind that Title 42 was introduced. Why? It was designed to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And so you have the administration basically telling people to quarantine. This was months ago, of course. And now they're saying, oh, we are going to let immigrants come in who have not been tested for COVID. And basically, they haven't been vaccinated. Nothing has happened to them. But you can come in and perhaps we'll give you a pass to either El Paso or New York City.
Well, I think this is the issue here. What has got to be so clear is that even people who think, and there's a lot of Republicans who say, we should declare the pandemic over and move on, is that there's no follow-up policy here. So if we remove Title 42, even if you think, it's time to say this pandemic is over, which, by the way, I don't think the Biden administration is ready to say. I don't think a lot of the world is ready to say, but a lot of conservatives are saying in states it's been over for a long time in the way things have gone back to normal in some places. But when you don't have a follow-up policy,
exactly,
and you've got the highest ever numbers last month, 224,000 plus people, and we know that there's a whole group waiting for Title 42 to fall. Now, what will be interesting to see is now that this has happened, what does that whole group that's been at the border waiting do? Because the Biden administration has not been as aggressive as using Title 42. The Trump administration used it to keep 90% of people out, immediately expel everyone. So all those encounters, 90% of those encounters were sent back home. The Biden administration certainly has not been that aggressive in enforcing the policy, but it's still been one of the few things Customs and Border Patrol has been able to use this mess of an administration.
Yeah, so I mean, the Customs and Border Patrol Association and the ICE agents said that Title 42 is, they called it essential to their maintaining some kind of decorum and order at the border. And what's so ironic to me, Harry, as a policy matter, is here you had a policy, granted it was under the Trump administration, that has been successful, that could be even more successful if implemented, and Biden's immediate reaction is, oh, it was Trump's, we have to get rid of it.
I think that is correct. And so what you have on the part of the Biden administration is an illustration of their commitment to childishness. So in other words, this policy is working. It is helping the American people. It is protecting the American people from harm in Missouri, in Louisiana, and other states. And yet the Biden administration basically says, let's go ahead and reverse this policy and unleash a tidal wave of consequences throughout America in terms of school systems, which are already overwhelmed, in terms of drug trafficking, in terms of other consequences. And I think Judge Summerhays offered a brilliant opinion in this particular case because he suggested, at least implicitly, that the decision by the Biden administration to reverse Title 42 was arbitrary and capricious. It was not well thought out. It is really designed to help Joe Biden's ideological left-wing base, and it is not grounded in the best interest of the American people.
Listen to what the DHS secretary says, Mayorkas, talking about Title 42. Take a listen.
We recognize that with the end of Title 42, there very well may be an increased surge in migration, and we have to equip them with the resources and capabilities to address that increase as well.
He's acting like this is something that might have happened 4 months later. It was happening a month later, and they had no ability to do it.
Listen, they have not been handling it under Title 42. We saw the highest numbers last in April ever in history, ever reported since they've been recording those numbers. 224,000 people, that's under Title, with Title 42. And it's unclear. This administration is not taking it seriously. They've attacked the Border Patrol agents. They've attacked ICE. They have other law enforcement. They've demonized them as well. Here's our biggest concern. It's not so much if Title 42 is able to exist in perpetuity, because it's not going to. Ultimately, you can declare the pandemic is over. Even with this court decision, if you go through the Administrative Procedures Act, that gives you few months, maybe,
right.
Maybe 90 days. But ultimately, what we've got to push for, I think why the elections are so important in November, and it's something that if there is a Republican takeover of not just the House but the Senate, that they can put pressure on the administration more through the power of the purse to do more enforcement at the border. I'm not sure you're going to get comprehensive immigration reform through that. I don't think so. But what I think you can do is use the power of the purse, if you've got control of both the House and the Senate come January, to make sure that they are doing more at the border. And it's not just about the people. Those numbers are staggering. But it's the drugs. It's the illegal activity. You know, for every time they've got a cap, they've got to deal with 50, those larger groups of like 400 or 500 people, the drug cartels know that's where their focus is. They use all these individuals to take our resources at the border and shift them to the people, and then that's when they send in and utilize the drug mules and get people inside with that. So this whole idea that it's just about the people, it's not. On Friday, we had our offices, representatives from some of the Northern Triangle countries. One of those, El Salvador, and they were talking about how under President Trump, they like the deals they made with President Trump. They didn't want to keep losing their citizens to drug cartels. So what one of the diplomats, and I won't name him here, but he was talking about said, is that for, you know, those people are paying $5,000 to $10,000. He said, one, in our country, if they've got $5,000 or $10,000, those are people with some resources. We don't really want to lose those kind of individuals. But two, for every one of those people paying $5,000 to $10,000, that the drug cartels are making as much or more off the human smuggling to the border than they are drugs and other illegal activity. And so we are boosting, by allowing this constant churning of people to the border and these coyotes, we are funneling money into massive paramilitary-style drug cartels.
You know, you're right. And the Biden administration, in their briefing to the court, said that Title 42 is a public health order, not a border security order, and therefore the decision to lift it must be based on public health. And then it said the CDC has said, after considering current public health conditions and an increased availability of tools to fight COVID, the CDC director has determined that an order suspending the right to introduce migrants into the United States is no longer necessary. That is doublespeak, Harry.
Absolutely.
While they're saying it's increasing right now.
You are absolutely correct. But basically, this particular issue illustrates one thing and one thing only. And that is a lack of seriousness on the part of this administration in terms of how they deal with the COVID pandemic and also how they deal with the border. And if you look at the work of DHS Secretary Mayorkas, it is basically laughable. And it included, of course, the Disinformation Bureau.
And this ties in, Jordan, to what you're doing at ACLJ, Action on the World Health Organization situation, where they may try to get global control of how we respond to these.
I know people have been putting that in the chat. They've been asking. We are on this issue. We've already got a memo out internally through ACLJ, through ACLJ Action, so we're on it, folks.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-31. Tim, we're going to talk about some other issues, but if you've got questions about Title 42, the border, the border security, the fact that Title 42 can still be used as of right now by our Customs and Border Patrol agents, and that was set to expire today. The Biden administration was not going to renew it, but a court stepped in and said you can't do it like this. I'd love to take your calls on that. 1-800-684-3110. Because how is this affecting you, whether it's the drugs, whether it's the people in communities, especially at a time when inflation and things are tough and economics are tough already when you put the economic strain of individuals like this. Again, it's not like an easy time to just immigrate into the U.S. and pay the bills. But we've also got some international work to get into as well.
Yeah, we do a lot of work at the United Nations. By the way, we're not ready to make that announcement yet. But we're about to expand that work rather drastically. But you probably won't make that announcement when you're until the end of the year.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, we are in line with that. Remember, on Friday, we were hosting our second of what will be a whole series of continuing training programs in Washington, D.C. for Foreign Service and foreign diplomats from around the world. And we're doing a couple events for higher level members of the diplomatic corps, including like ambassadors and deputies. With people like Mike Pompeo, Rick Rinell will be on later in the broadcast, and I know Senator Hagerty has confirmed for that as well.
Exactly. So we've got, we do a lot of work
all at our office in D.C.
All out of D.C. So we've got to do a lot of work at the United Nations. As you know, it's a hostile environment. We do a lot of work in front of the Human Rights Council, which sometimes is the most hostile of the councils. Cece Hiles here, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, heads this work up. Cece, we have just completed three country reports. I think it's important first to let know this is Pakistan, India, and Nigeria. What are we doing when we write these reports?
Right. So the Human Rights Council, this is their 50th session, and they will have agenda items that they are going to go over. So we look at those agenda items, and we see which agenda item we could do a written submission on. And in this 50th session, we did one on India, Pakistan, and Nigeria. And they have to comply with, again, what those agenda items are. One was violence against women, one was freedom of expression, and one was on IDPs or internally displaced persons. And so we write these written reports and we highlight what's going on in these countries, and particularly with religious persecution. And in India, on freedom of expression, we went after their anti-conversion laws, which basically don't allow Christians to share their faith at all. And we show how that violates the freedom of expression. And of course, we had Pastor Naren, who is a pastor from Tennessee, American pastor, and he was trapped in India just for this, the same thing that the Hindu majority is going after Christians and wants to shut them down. And we see that
in that case, we got him out. But it's important to say, and Jordan, you've done these UN, these interventions, Cece has too. The second phase of this is oral interventions, oral arguments before the UN General Assembly.
That's right. You do a presentation, and we can do those via our studios here. We can have our European team in Geneva. We've gone before, sometimes with family members of clients who are being illegally held abroad and imprisoned abroad. And so there's different ways we can utilize it, and they're all effective. Sometimes it's effective to have our French team there because they resonate with a certain audience in Europe. And then there's sometimes there are issues that we need to get out in more of the U.S., and we want to make you more aware. So one of us will do it, CC or me. And again, it is still in this time where because of COVID concerns, you're able to get more creative. And what I think is very cool is that whether it's by video or whether you're in person, they are there. They're locked in with their listening devices, the translation devices. They're listening. And you're able to speak to all these different countries around the world and call out some of the countries while they're there as well.
And our reports have actually made it into the HRC's final reports.
That's right, especially the country reports with the UPR. They make it almost every single one of our reports makes it into those reports. So the UN has told us that they appreciate our reports, and we will keep reporting on it as long as we have a place there to do so.
Now, we know we're up against the other side of this that's committed to doing these reports is very left-leaning. I mean, it's very left-leaning, and so they very much pick and choose how they want to do these. And that's why I think the UN appreciates our reports, just like how I think you appreciate our broadcast. Yes, we take sides on issues, but we're also honest. Like, if our side has a tough shot at winning, we're honest about that. If our side has a good chance of winning, we're able to say that as well. But we don't try to fool you and just say everything's going to be a win, everything's hunky-dory. It's kind of the same thing there, is you get these groups on one side, and they call themselves human rights groups, but they very much pick and choose who they go after. And most of the time who they're going after is you, the United States, our allies, with the Western Europe, and Israel.
Yep, no question. We also filed in Pakistan. If we have it, let's put these on the screen. This is what it looks like. So we filed written statements submitted by the European Center for Law and Justice, an NGO with special consultative status. We did this on Pakistan. And we have firsthand knowledge of these cases because, Cece, we have an office in Pakistan.
Right. And that's another thing that's very important, because we have actual cases. I believe that brings a lot of attention and specific attention to what we're saying in these reports. This one in Pakistan, we have a young girl who is 14. She disappeared after receiving over 40 text messages from her Muslim neighbor.
What does disappeared mean?
Gone. Like, literally gone. They do not know where she is. 14 years old. Completely disappeared after, again, the day she received over 40 text messages from a Muslim neighbor, which she had never received before, and the police won't do anything, and literally the courts won't do anything. And then you contrast that with a Muslim girl who disappeared, and within weeks she is found and returned to her family, and the perpetrators are held accountable in court. But this little girl that we represent, 14 years old, been gone for 2 years. The parents do not know, and the police and the courts will do absolutely nothing. Why? Because she's a Christian minority child.
And that's the exact reason why we then go to the United Nations.
That's correct. To show these kind of, they're not fair in, Pakistan's not fair in applying their laws, that all children should be protected regardless of, you know, whether they're a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu. They all should be protected. And so we're able to point these specific cases out and encourage the United Nations to remind Pakistan.
We do
on the HRCs, we do 3 times a year, about 5, so 15. And then we do the UPR reports, the country reports. We do 3 times a year, 14 of those.
So almost
there's
between
a lot.
Both, it's a lot of work.
About 100 reports probably.
Okay, so just think about that, folks. 100 reports a year generated by the American Center for Law and Justice to the UN, just for the Human Rights Council and other related entities. It's not all the international work. That's just the reports and the documents that we're filing in these cases. Last one is India. There, it's the anti-conversion laws.
Right. And so India, I had said about Naren and the anti-conversion laws, that the Hindu majority there has really gone after cracking down on Christians.
All right. Last one, Nigeria.
Yeah. So that's
we have an email out on Nigeria today, by the way.
So Nigeria is terrible on, they're the 7th worst country in the world for persecution of Christians. We highlight that with the internally displaced persons, which is in the millions, and how Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen go after Christians, over 46,000 killed, 17,500 churches attacked, and 2,000 Christian schools attacked.
There you go. That's why we're fighting back at the United Nations. To defend those who cannot defend themselves. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, right now, the number hit 100 million. That's the highest ever of people displaced in the world. So you look at what's happened in Ukraine, you look at a lot of these situations across the world. So it's over 100 million people are now displaced people. And that number has never hit that number before. And that came out of the UN. So again, continuing that work there. I want you to support our work at ACLJ.org on that WHO issue. We're getting into it, folks. We've already got a memo circulating among our team. So we're on it, folks. ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.